Romans 14 is a really good chapter that tells Christians to major on supporting one another and not to major on expressing their own personal opinions on disputable matters. Okay, you see that phrase, disputable matters, in chapter 14, verse 1. So you major on building others up. What can I do to look out for the other guy? And not major on, this is my conviction about this issue. That's a major call to love, because it's so much easier, at least for me, to express my own preference on a matter as opposed to watching out for you and what I, asking myself, how does what I do affect your faith in God? And so Paul deals with that the whole chapter, Romans 14, half of 15. If you want to do a little research, you can see the same issues in 1 Corinthians 8 through 14. Okay, big sections of the Bible teaching us how to defer to one another, as it were, in love. And you might say Romans 14 is really a commentary on Romans 13 and verse 8 and 9, which says this: whatever other law there is, you can think of any law under the sun or given in the Bible. Whatever law there is, don't covet, don't murder, don't steal, can be summed up in this one command, this one law: love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? So if you thought that love was some kind of weak, piddly thing that, you know, only as a last resort Christians do, know that it's at the top of the list in God's priority. And that one law, love your neighbor as yourself, sums up all the others. Or if we were to take a poll this morning and each of us would write down our favorite law from the Bible, sum it up with 150 laws, and one of the teenagers, 16-year-old, came up and wrote, love your neighbor as yourself, we would say, thank you for summarizing what the rest of us 150 were really excited about. Okay, so that's a big change. And yet God's word consistently points us to that as a way of honoring himself. So love your neighbor as yourself. And so we're to do this as a matter of deference to each other, and especially in disputable matters. Now, that's the first verse. Some Bibles might have the word in terms of convictions, personal convictions you have, in terms of personal preferences you have, or in terms of scruples. That's an old-fashioned word that you have there. So Romans 14 can help us defer and put love into practice toward one another. The issue that Paul was dealing with here in Romans 14 seems like a faraway issue, but not so much. It was a matter of what should we eat when we are with everybody in the community. And in this case, people got together and dedicated meat or some of the food to idols. Perhaps they got together and did this. Okay, we're going to pray, and we take this meat, and we dedicate this meat to the great god Caesar, and we pray to the great god Zeus that he would bless this food to our bodies. Amen. Now let's eat, everybody. And so Christians were there, and they looked at one another and said, uh-oh. You know, and some Christians said, well, I'm hungry, you know. Forget about the Zeus thing. Who cares about that? I'm thankful to God, the one true God, for the food. The other Christian, no. Can't do that. Somebody mentioned the wrong god. It has to do with that meat. I'm not touching it. Woe be to you if you touch it. Okay, so you had two believers at the same situation looking at something, trying to follow the Lord, but coming to different conclusions on how to do that. The question would be, would they look out for one another in terms of their actions? Or would they look against one another in terms of their actions? Okay? Steering us to the command, love your neighbor as yourself. And so, to look out for one another in love was the call. And there's issues like that that you and I have that are what's called, again, disputable issues. If there's a disputable issue, there would be non-disputable issues, which we have to mention. Of course, those are things like, oh, Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead. Non-negotiable. God's word is clear and true. That's not a disputable issue. Jesus taught that. Jesus is coming again. Not a disputable issue. Okay, we trust the Lord. And there's matters of opinion don't count on that, because God's word is clear. Other parts of our life, not so clear. And so we go with deferring to one another, looking out for the other guy, and moving in those directions. I put some things that could be helpful, or just give you some examples of modern day disputable issues. Alcohol, tobacco. Should have put firearms up there so we can go with the ATF. But alcohol, tobacco, firearms, attendance of movies, style of clothing, not real clear in the Bible, with the exception of appropriateness and modesty and so forth. I put cell phones up there just to be a smart aleck a little bit. But the American Cancer Society, by the way, is doing constant studies on the effect of cell phones to the to the health of a person. So if you're on there for 2 or 3 hours, might not be a real good idea. But that's, again, a disputable issue. Style of music, both inside and outside the church. You know, sometimes you say, well, you can't, if you have that, you're not close to God, or you're not helping people participate. Those are all disputable issues. Sacred days would be things like Feast of Tabernacles. Do you observe the Passover or not? That type of thing. Sacred days, not so much gathering on Sunday, since if you want fellowship, that's the day to come and praise God with others. But those are disputable issues that, again, our call is not just to express my own personal opinion on it. My call would be, what can I do to build another Christian up in reference to these things, especially if those things that I participate in cause you pain? Okay. And you're looking out for me in the same way. If I put the shoe on the other foot, if I have a conviction about Skoll, okay, Skoll's a little tobacco product, and I say, Skoll's bad for you, and it's one of the top 20 sins that you're going to do, and so forth. And you take Skoll, and you've been doing it for 40 years, and it hasn't affected you one way or another. You just kind of like the taste. But if I see Skoll and using Skoll, that it's just going to break my heart, and I'm going to question you. I'm going to question God and everything else. Then if you really love me more than you love the Skoll, you're not going to do the Skoll around me. That's for sure. And perhaps, God might even lead you to say, well, that's enough of that. I'm going for the Wrigley's, or whatever the thing you like to put in your mouth. Alcohol, tobacco, not so much what your personal preference is. It's how to build up the other person, how to encourage the other person to Christ and to a good faith and walk in Him. There's disputable biblical issues, which I don't want to get into. There's too many. But I do want to say this again. We defer to one another and don't pass judgment on each other on side issues because of the person and work of Christ. Because He sacrificed for all, for our sins. And so He went the extra mile for us. And so we go and put aside things we think, oh, I might be able to do this, for the sake of others. Remembering the standard of truth is who Jesus is and His work on the cross. And it's the standard for all truth and right living. So most things that will keep you strong in the Christian life have to do with those two issues. Who Jesus is, what He came to do. Other issues in the Christian life may be important to your soul. That's okay. You might have a personal conviction about that. But chances are it's not going to be the key for a whole group of people to be close to the Lord or some manner. For example, in church history, just to do a quick summary, 500 years since the Reformation, majors of faith were defined in this manner. Christ alone would be our salvation, our Savior. No salvation outside of who Jesus is and what He did. Grace alone. This was a gift from God, so nobody would boast. We received that by faith alone. Put your trust in the Lord and not yourself. By the Bible alone and to the glory of God alone. So the focus is on the Lord in the majors of the faith. I put asterisks beside number 2, 3, and 4 just to let you know that some parts of the body of Christ struggle with grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone. They'll say, well, we like the Bible, but we like the authority of the Pope also, authority of the Church. Okay? So there's a little bit of a difference there. Faith and grace alone, some would say, yeah, we like faith and grace, but works are necessary to win God's favor for heaven. That would be a distinct difference that we couldn't shake hands about. Okay. It's the work of Jesus, not ours, that saves. Here's another issue of the majors of the faith, that this is not disputable. We're unified in Christ on these. Bibles, trustworthy. Jesus taught this. He said, heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. The literal nature of the Bible. A sixth grader can read it and get the basic meaning of the scripture. We don't want to take the Bible off the hands of the common man. Okay? It was written by common people for common people. Don't just let the scholars tell you what it says. Scholars will be helpful. But it was written for you and for me. Right there in the pew. Okay, don't forget that. The virgin birth of Jesus, non-negotiable. Bodily resurrection and return of Christ, the truth for all times. And if your soul is not at peace with God, you know, the substitutionary atonement. He died in our place. He took the wrath of God on Himself so that we could be set free. And so some things that are not disputable but are important. And in the disputables, love binds us together in unity. So you're looking out for the other guy. So God's Word, 14:1. Chapter 14, verse 1, and chapter 15, the first several verses says, accept one another, welcome one another, receive one another. Build up one another. If you want to be a healthy Christian, be a Christian that receives, welcomes, and accepts one another without passing judgment as to, you know, the spiritual state of a person. Okay, you can be a builder up of others. That's good. But no sense passing a verdict on somebody. That's not the point. And so, to drive home the point again, if you say, well, let's do the judgment verses here. Look toward your brother, whether they don't have the same convictions of you or not. You look toward them without passing judgment. The word judgment there means to condemn, to decide that they're guilty, or to cast condemnation and damnation on them. Okay? This is not for us to do. Why? Because we all stand before the judgment seat of God. That sobers us up. And when we stand before God, most likely He's going to be talking to us about, again, trusting in His Son, loving God and our fellow man. He probably won't be talking too much to us about, you know, your style of clothing was a little out of bounds there. You know, those are disputable matters that are left to personal conscience and conviction. So Paul drives it home 5 times here. He says, you help your brother without passing judgment. You must not condemn. Who are you to judge another man's servant? That's a great verse that can help us always be in each other's corner, you know, looking out, I look out for you, you look out for me kind of thing. And again, verse 10, why do you judge your brother that is cast condemnation? Now we're to make distinctions in terms of the truth. If my brother's drunk or if he denies Jesus, I can speak to that behavior clearly. But I don't judge. He may be confused at the time, or who knows. Stop passing judgment on one another, verse 13. And so why do we do this? Because God has accepted that person. The Lord's able to make him stand. And for the honor of the Lord. Paul sums it up by saying, you know, that fellow who has different convictions than you about a style of music, style of dress, and other behaviors, God will bring him to honor himself. You know, Paul says, if they eat for the honor of God. They abstain for the honor of God. And so whether they live or die, they do it for the honor of God. And so just the whole passage is a look out for one another passage for the glory of God. And we're called in our walk to not give the judgment of condemnation, but to give the judgment of how Jesus has accepted you and I. And he offered us grace. I like this example, and I hope it helps an individual, any person. Let's say the movie of your life was shown to the Lord at the judgment day. Movie of your whole life. What you thought, what you did, what you said, what you failed to do good. I mean, there it was. And, you know, so you stand there and you think, oh, brother. And if others saw it, you know, that would be two oh brothers. But the good news of the Bible is this. God has already seen your movie. He's already seen your movie. All your words, all your actions, and all your failures, and all the things you failed to do. And he saw it all and he said, I love you. And here's my son. And I want you to belong to me. Okay. And so we live to the Lord. We die to the Lord. Whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. And it helps us to major on who Jesus is and walking with him, looking out for each other. And so in our discipleship, the main things stay the plain things. And the plain things stay the main things. Okay. This is an important thing. Couple questions you can ask yourself about your own personal convictions. Remember, Paul says you could have those, but keep them between you and God. And also be always looking out for your brother. I think Romans 14:21 is very important. This is the philosophy Billy Graham had. He says, it's better for me not to eat certain things or drink wine if it causes my brother to stumble. So Billy Graham knew, I look at the Bible, I can't find where it says, don't drink alcohol ever, 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 ever. But he says, I'm not going to drink that, because if I do, that's going to affect somebody around me to a detrimental way. If I go to a fellowship and everybody has water and ginger ale, you know, I'm not going to pour. Give me an Iron City, you know. That's going to create a problem. If I'm a Sunday school teacher and I take a group of senior hires out for lunch, you know, and they get all Mountain Dew triple caffeinated, you know, pop. Well, that's another problem. Let's say they all get that. I'm not going to order. Give me some wine. You know, I need to mellow out here. We set an example. We look out to build. How can I build up the other guy in this setting? Here's some question might help you as you walk with your convictions. Again, please do it to the Lord. Here's some. Do you have chapter and verse for your conviction? If you don't have chapter and verse for your conviction, it's probably not that important. Or God would have put it in there. Okay? So, that's a good standard. Here's another good one. If the scripture is silent about something, that our general silence is good. I say general silence because it's very hard for us to be silent about, but the things we hold dear that might the Lord might not hold very dear. And Titus chapter 3, verse 9, avoid foolish controversies. Okay, avoid foolish controversies. I know in my own life I have convictions. Sometimes I hammer people with. God wants me to instead build them up about it. I'll give you an example. Some of you say, well, that's an essential. I'm glad for the amen corner. One personal conviction, disputable matter I have is worshiping on Sunday. My mentality is worship on Sunday unless you're almost dead. That's pretty much my perspective. Or God calls you to some emergency. Okay. Now, if I judge you on that basis, I'm gonna, you know, it's gonna be too much for you to bear, and it's gonna be too much for me to bear. So instead, how can I build you up in that basis? Say, oh, come and praise God. Or I missed you personally. I do value your friendship and so forth. So we look in our personal convictions to build one another up as opposed to judge one another. And in closing, one saying that was helpful for people for centuries was this. In essentials, unity. What the Bible was clear about, we're unified. Jesus is Lord. We're so thankful He's our Savior and friend. In non-essentials, liberty. Non-essentials, things that we have talked about. Dress, certain products. Chapter 14, verse 2, I think it says, the one who has faith may eat everything. I thought that would be like a good half a verse to put in front of a buffet. Him who has faith can eat everything. That's my life's verse. No, that's... In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. The guy, he gets 4 plates of ribs. Leave him alone, you know. Don't sit there and judge him. He'll work it out with the Lord and at 3 a.m. when his stomach hurts. In essentials, liberty. In all things, love. In all things, love. That I want to build that person up so they know Christ better, and God's faithful to do this for us. And now let's pray. Father, we belong to You. We want to live this way. We want to constantly look out for one another's convictions. Always defer to build somebody up, not to say, well, this doesn't bother me. I'm going to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, wherever I want to do it. This is not discipleship. But to honor Christ, we belong to Him. To build up the brothers and sisters, we actually belong to them too. So work these things out in your way of deference and your Spirit's leading. In Jesus' name.